On today's show, we talk with
award-winning rocket scientist, author, speaker, and the new Einstein, Olympia Lapointe.
This podcast is brought to you by Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain. You can find us online at eaglestalent.com. Remember, you can listen to our podcast on our site, eaglestalent.com, or subscribe to it on iTunes by simply typing Eagles Talent in the search.
Olympia, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me.
Hi, thank you. I'm just so happy to be on your podcast today.
We are very excited to have you. Let's get right into it. So when you were 6 years old, you visited the Jet Propulsion Laboratory where your late grandfather worked. You described that experience as a life-changing moment. Is that the day that you fell in love with science?
It's very fascinating. I have loved science for years. And in my TED Talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear, I share that story. I was 6 years old, and I went to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And a couple years earlier, my grandfather had passed away. He was a janitor. And it was a life-changing experience because when I went to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and I saw the big rockets and I saw their mission control room, I told myself I wanted to be just like the men that I saw on the walls, but I had no idea that I looked completely different than who I saw on the walls. And it was a process of years of learning to cultivate not only the brain power to move forward towards launching great vehicles, but it was also a challenge for me emotionally and professionally later on to build the strength to be able to tackle every single type of challenge that I would face, as well as learn to embrace the challenge to find out how I could introduce significance and strength to whatever environment I entered.
That's amazing. Since 2002, January is deemed National Mentoring Month, in which Americans thank and honor their mentors. So who was your first mentor, and what role did they play in your success?
Oh, gosh. I've had many mentors. I truly believe that we each need a coach. We each need someone to remind us of what we're worth and how we're going to move forward and how we're going to make a significance in our life and in the work environment and world. In my early life, it was my mother. I'm very thankful. My mother is my mentor, and she thankfully is still alive. She is not your typical mentor. She is someone that never went to a four-year university. She was someone who overcame poverty, and she was somebody who told us, she said, in order to change your life, you're going to have to get an education. There's no way around it. And I took really to heart what she was saying because I looked around in my environment. I grew up, and we all grew up, in the middle of South Central Los Angeles in the 1980s, which was heightened with gang violence, with poverty, with even drug houses on every single corner, it seemed like. And I remember thinking to myself, I had to make some sort of way out. And the way that I found out was through an education. And although my mother didn't have one, she said, whatever you do, I want you to go and get a bachelor's degree and get an education so you don't have to go through this. And she didn't necessarily know what to do, but she went and placed me into a school with other parents that knew. And I found myself finding other mentors, which were the other parents. And I would literally, I remember being 10 years old, not knowing how to fill out a form. And I remember going to one of my other friend's parents, and I just asked him after school, could you help me fill out this form? And he did. And it was because of the parents of my friends. They were the ones that helped me fill out college applications and things when I didn't know how to do it. And I'm very thankful because my mother placing me into that environment where she said, honey, you're going to have to try and find out what it is to do next. It's from her initiating that. And then the mentors of my friend's parents who saw this kid, myself, who had this drive and potential, They said, we're going to do anything we can to help you, and I'm very thankful for their help.
I love that you mentioned your mom as well, because I feel a lot of the times people assume that mentors only, that we only meet mentors in the professional setting, but a lot of the times our mentors are at home. They're our parents, our family members.
Yeah, and interesting enough, mentors don't necessarily come into the form in which you would think. Mentors sometimes, if you watch someone and watch everything that they do and you don't like it, they're actually a mentor also. Because if you were to literally watch every single thing that you don't like and flip it around and think, what would I do in that case?
I've never even thought of it like that, but that's true. They set an example that maybe we don't want to follow, and they're shaping the way we think. So that's such a good point.
In my new book, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain Power, I talk about when we go through problems and we need solutions, our brain actually sends out a wave, and we actually have the solutions right in front of us and then brought to us. And sometimes these waves, I call them trigger brain waves, the natural waves that the brain has. We attract people in our life to help us solve problems. So if we are, let's say, wanting to start a business and we don't necessarily know how to do it, we'll attract three types of people. The first person that we'll attract is somebody who is stuck. They also want to create a business, but they don't know how to do it either. So these individuals are in the same type of frustration. You'll attract a second type of individual, and these people are people who have started a business or started a product in which they can market. So we also attract people who have the answers and that can guide us and mentor us in a new area of our career, a new area of personal development. And then the third person that we will attract is somebody who mirrors our own emotions. If we're really frustrated that, this isn't happening the time I like to have it in, we will attract somebody who's also frustrated in another area. They may be frustrated in their schoolwork, or they may be frustrated in their relationship. So when we actually realize that we attract mentors in all sorts of different ways, that's when we realize, what is this person telling me about myself? How can I better my own life based on what I am seeing? And from that, we develop into solving our problem and moving forward in not only mentoring and receiving the mentoring that we're receiving, but also moving forward in excelling and succeeding in our own life.
You can learn so much about yourself from a good mentor. So you mentioned living in Los Angeles in the 80s. What role did your environment, your community play in your education and your upbringing?
Oh, excellent question. When people look at me, first off, they do not necessarily think that a person that looks like myself would be a rocket scientist. And they definitely do not think that a person like myself has taken the science from rocket science and applied it now to how the brain reshapes and works so we actually can find solutions and fire off brain power so we have solutions and answers in our life. People don't think, the Olympia LaPointe necessarily when you look at me like that, and that's what I love doing. And it came from my environment of growing up in South Central Los Angeles as an early child. I talk about this in the now viral video. It's amazing. It's like almost a half a million people have seen this Impact Theory interview. And almost a million people have seen my TED Talk now. So
I'm one of them. It was a great TED Talk.
Thank you so much. In the TED Talk and in the Impact Theory Talk that has over a million views now, which I'm so thankful for, I share about my experience of being a person who grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and I experienced poverty. I experienced gang violence. And in my TED Talk, I talk about how I stabbed in my eye and almost lost my eyesight. In my Impact Theory, I talk about what it was like to be bused all the way to a different side of the town where there were people who had money and kids who had money. And then I was bused completely back into my neighborhood where it was completely impoverished and gang violence. And my mother did everything she could to keep us alive, literally. And so my brain literally was alternating between two states. How am I going to stay alive? What can I do to survive? What can I do to make sure that I will be able to see tomorrow? Which is a heightened fear adrenaline state. And then there was a state where I went into this new campus and everything was nice and new. And I was like, oh, bliss, I got a chance to learn and grow. And it was every single day. It was that oscillation between both the fear and the excellence, the fear and the excellence. And through that opportunity, I learned to master my own brain power, to be able to recognize situations that would bring fear and would shut off my own thinking versus situations that would bring self-development, intelligence, genius. And in the ability to be able to discern those two types of environments, I was able to take captive of my own hidden thoughts, the thoughts that would stop me from moving forward versus the thoughts that would propel me to where I was going to go. And in being able to take captive my own thoughts and actually recognize the thought for what it was, which was the conversion of the energy of a situation into the excellence in which I plan to pursue. When I recognize that a thought serves a purpose, which is to convert the situation into where we want to go, that's when I realized I have actually power in my own thinking, in my own development. And it doesn't matter what type of obstacle I face, I can move forward. And no matter what comes, I can take whatever situation that comes and use it to an advantage of my development so I can change this world. In doing so, I was able to learn how to identify that thinking in other individuals. So audiences are able to take hold of their own thoughts, see what goes in their own head, and transform that thought so they can unleash their own brain power to move forward in where it is that they want to go.
That's incredible. I mean, that is just incredible that you were able to, A, recognize this at such a young age, but also tap into that brain power and unleash that brain power so young.
It was a process. I had mentors. Mm-hmm. Nothing came overnight. It would be nice if it did. It would be so nice if success comes overnight, but it doesn't. It takes hard work, and it takes mentors, and it takes a decision to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How did you, I mean, I have to ask, because I know that you mentioned that at one point in high school, you were failing algebra, geometry, chemistry, all classes that I would assume are vital to a rocket scientist. How did you go from failing to not only passing, but graduating early at 16?
That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing that detail there, because most people like, because you notice I graduated early. That's usually not in most stuff, in most media. So thank you for doing that research. That's really, really cool. I have to laugh about this now because I became an award-winning rocket scientist, but I failed algebra. I mean, I'm really laughing. I failed geometry. I failed calculus and I failed chemistry, and I am so proud to say I failed.
Because look where you are now.
I'm brilliant.
Yes.
To fail is when you become brilliant. Mm-hmm. People don't realize this. Edison failed, I think, 1,000 times before he created the light bulb. When you fail, that's when you unleash your power. It's only when you make the decision to do it. Mm. Now, when I was failing, I almost gave up on my dream of becoming a rocket scientist. I thought to myself, I can't move forward. I'm not even understanding this. But I always loved it. That was the strangest thing. I always loved science. I always loved all the mathematics and science. But I had self-limiting beliefs. I had fear. And this is what's so interesting. I write about this in my first book, Mathophobia. Anytime we have any type of fear, it happens in the reptilian part of the brain, and it shuts off the frontal brain lobes. And the frontal brain lobes are the key necessary brain power that we need to transport a problem into a solution. And if this is not turned on, we can't do that. The culprit is two different things. One is fear. If fear in the reptilian brain shuts off the frontal brain lobes. And so in my book, Mathophobia, I talk about the four types of fear people face when they're studying mathematics or science. And I'm very thankful to be able to share this at all the different colleges and universities across the United States. What the fear does is it shuts off the frontal brain lobes and it stops someone from understanding mathematics. And so when I was failing algebra, geometry, calculus, and chemistry, the fear in my own mind from the very rough situations that I was going through in South Central Los Angeles, of all that fear of staying alive, was translating itself into my math and science performance. Anytime we experience anything emotional, deeply emotional, that we cannot necessarily solve when we have fear wrapped around it, it shuts off our frontal brain lobes. So anyone, especially kids, when they're going through situations at home that's very stressful, it turns off their problem-solving power. And in my particular case, I had a mentor. His name was Mr. Provencio. He was a teacher there. Mr. Provencio, he had the opportunity to tutor students during the winter break where nobody was going to school. He volunteered his own time to come in to tutor people for calculus. And in tutoring people for calculus, I thought everyone was going to show up. But I looked at it as like the opportunity of free tutoring because my family didn't have money. And I literally borrowed. It wasn't borrowing because I never got a chance to pay it back, but it was a gas station attendant on the corner that knew I needed to go to school, and he gave me $1.35 each way to catch the bus, 2 hours to the campus, so I could sit with the tutor for 1 hour. So I would ride down the bus for 2 hours, sit with him for 1 hour, and then ride the bus back for 2 hours. And I did that for 30 days, and that changed my entire thinking to realize I was the one shutting off my own brain from fear. It was no one else. And when I take when I took ownership and I'm like, whoa, I'm the one doing this? When I took ownership over this fear and said, oh, no, that's not going to stop me anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move forward. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to get this out. Mm-hmm. And when I got that fear out, I took the test. The funniest thing is, I didn't pass it.
Oh my gosh.
But the success was my fear was gone. I took the test and I still didn't do well. I wasn't scared anymore. Mm-hmm. I was still going to study it. And I knew that if I spent longer studying mathematics and science, I would eventually do well. And I eventually did do well. I graduated from Hamilton Music Academy Performing Arts School in 1993, and then I later on went to California State University Northridge, and I entered as a mathematics major, and eventually I was a mathematics tutor, tutored thousands of students in group tutoring programs, and in doing so, I became a master at mathematics with the students' help because we both read the books together, mm-hmm. and I graduated at the top of the class from California State University Northridge, which later on led me to being hired at the Boeing Company, where I launched rockets and ended up being Engineer of the Year.
I mean, that's just incredible.
The second thing that stops people's frontal brain lobes from working is what I share in my second book, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power. And I'm very thankful because Answers Unleashed now is a platform. When people go to answersunleashed.com, they see the book. They see our live shows. We take Answers Unleashed shows and we bring them to college universities across the United States. The debut Answers Unleashed live lecture was held at California State University Northridge. And it's where we take the mathematics, that the same mathematics that I learned from the tutoring with a mentor, the same mathematics that I learned with launching rockets, and we apply it to the human brain and how people understand how to reshape their own brain with their thoughts. And we had the Answers Unleashed live lecture mm-hmm. debut at California State University Northridge with hundreds, and this is so amazing, hundreds of professionals and students who came to the university to to hear this talk about how to take your thoughts and reprogram your brain and alter your brain from the inside out so you unleash your brain power. And this is an aspect, a new development in self-directed neuroplasticity, which is involved in neuroscience. And the second part that stops people's brains from working, I share in the Answers Unleashed live lecture, is that when we hold on to painful memories, that's what stops us. When we hold on to situations where we fail, when we keep remembering, oh, he broke up with me. Oh, I failed a math class. Oh, I was laid off from the work. Oh, our company didn't succeed and didn't make our goal. When we keep holding on to a painful memory, we are then recreating a new toxic reality in front of us where we do not see reality accurately. And we turn on the amygdala where the fear happens in the brain, and we create a chemical reaction that I explain in my new book as brain break. It's this dark tar-like glue that keeps the brain together and it doesn't allow it to reshape, so you find your answers where your frontal brain lobe fires. So when we hold on to these painful memories, we are creating a toxic chemical environment in our brain that's stopping our brain from unleashing its power. So when we are able to take hold of a memory, no matter how traumatic it is, we are able to shift it and turn it around and take that memory and overlay a new reality on top of it. So we no longer create a toxic environment in our brain, but a powerful one. And when that powerful one fires, that's when we're able to find solutions and apply it to our life and unleash our power.
Wow. This is fascinating. I mean, honestly.
Thank you. That is my work. I create not only work that is entertaining, I create work that is educationally fascinating. I truly am honored to be on stage and to grab the attention of every single person there, not for myself, not for the organization, not for the audience, but it's for the betterment of every single person who is listening to a message where their life can be changed. I'm truly a believer that we're all here for a purpose. I'm here for a purpose. Organizations are here for a purpose. Agencies are here for a purpose. And it's all to be able to create that moment in time where we have that epiphany knowledge about ourselves, where we realize what it is that we can do in this world. And when we realize what it is that we can do in this world, that's when we change our lives and that's when we change the world. That's why I do what it is that I do.
You really do blend entertainment with science, and it's incredible because I've never been someone who has ever been interested in science, and it was always something that I brushed off, and I'm so captivated by what you're saying.
And we all have it. We all experience science. We all have this brain power. We see great inventions. We all can be rocket scientists, meaning we all can be inventors. We can all innovate something. We can improve it. We can create something. We can build something that's going to change our lives and change the world. But people don't see themselves as their own scientists. And so what I bring to the table is finding the mentors who can help you, creating your own environment mentally so you can actually create something, and then finding the resources to actually build it in your life and create it so you not only can get an education and ace classes and create products for businesses, but you can also create a life that you can actually inspire other people to do. And my goal is to have my work and just this energy in which I give to help anyone else unleash their own power so they then create their own world. And it's like this domino effect, this chaotic, beautiful, chaotic effect, this domino effect where one person and another person and another person and another person all together, bam, creates the environment and the future that we want.
What you've managed to do is incredible. It really is. I have to ask, during your freshman year of college, the Northridge earthquake destroyed your college campus. It resulted in thousands of injuries, several deaths of your classmates. What made you want to stay despite the traumatic circumstances?
Oh, gosh. All right. Now, I'm going to share something personal with you, and I love sharing this, and I share this with audiences. When we see the Me Too situations of the Me Too hashtag of people who have been sexually abused or sexually harassed, that's something that resonates with me. Mm-hmm. At the 8 years old, I was sexually abused by a trusted friend of the family, and in the middle of the night, I was raped, and it sounds horrible to say something like that. And it was a very traumatic experience, in addition to the different traumatic experiences that I faced growing up with poverty, being stabbed in the eye with gang violence. These are things that are very horrible, and no one on the face of the planet should go through that. But if they go through that, there's a way out, and I'm living proof of that. And when the Northridge earthquake happened, it was 1994. 4:31 in the morning. It was a holiday. It was Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, the schools were closed. Nobody was on the freeway much. That was a blessing.
Right.
And in my Answers Unleashed live talk, which is your brain masterclass, an Unleash a Genius Mind that is on my website, I talk about what the experience was of the Northridge earthquake. And it was so traumatic. And it was very traumatic. And it was a traumatic experience, just like the traumatic experience of being stabbed in the eye, just like the traumatic experience of being sexually abused. We experience a variety of painful memories. And the Northridge earthquake, I talk about how the refrigerator was thrown into the living room, how the glass shattered and came down. I explain about how when my sisters and I finally realized the shaking stopped and we went to the stairwell and the aftershock started, the stairwell then started separating from the wall as we were on the stairs. And our decision to jump from the second story to the first story at that moment, and by miracle, not have any broken bones. And then making the decision of, through intuition, which I share about in my book, Answers Unleashed, the decision-making power through our natural born intuition that every single one of us has the ability to develop and harness. Through that intuition power, looking up, recognizing if we had gone through logically the door that had exit on it, looking up and seeing sheets of glass, recognizing that we would have been killed. It is that intuition moment where you realize the way to go, even though everything logically is pointing you in this direction, your intuition is what saves you. That moment in time where we got out of the building alive and was able to see our collapsed building and recognize that we were still alive outside of it showed me that I had a purpose. Everyone living has a purpose. There was a reason why my sisters and I got out of that building. There's a reason why you are watching this video. There's a reason why everything happens on this face of the planet. There's no accident.
Right.
When we recognize that no matter what type of traumatic situation we've gone through, whether it be sexual abuse, whether it be violence, whether it be traumatic natural disasters, or it be failing grades, or companies that collapse, companies that had to rebuild, whatever situation that you've gone through it for a reason because you have something to share. And what it is that you're going to share is the key to inventing what's going to help your life and help the lives of everyone else that you're around. When you recognize that whatever has happened is really a blessing in disguise and that you have opportunity, you have another day to live, to move forward in a moment in time where you can make your life make a difference, that's what allows you to move forward. And that's what allowed me to move forward. And that's what allowed my sisters to move forward. Now, we all move forward at different rates. And it all depends on how we think about things. But when you're alive and when you have an opportunity to overcome something, run with it.
Wow. It's interesting that you bring up the Me Too movement, because you've been very outspoken and you've been an advocate for the movement on social media. In what ways has this topic influenced your keynote speeches? Is it something you're incorporating in them?
Thank you. The Me Too experience is very powerful, not only for myself and in my own lectures about what I've gone through to overcome my own experiences of sexual abuse as a child, but it also empowers everyone. And I'm really thankful about that, because let me break down the brain chemistry that happens when people explain their Me Too experiences. Whenever someone is quiet about any type of abuse in which they've had before in the past, that creates a shame. A shame is a powerful emotion, which is the exact opposite of enlightenment. Anytime someone has shame or harboring shame about whatever happened in their life, whether it be a sexual experience, whether it is what they've done, whatever it is in which they've experienced, whenever they have a shame, that causes a traumatic brain experience that creates the entire top and frontal part of the brain to actually go haywire. That's not odd, but that's what happens. And that type of processing, that shame, doesn't allow someone to see a situation clearly. And so they'll always be thinking of themselves as a victim. When they speak up and share their experiences as a fact, not attaching any emotion to it, but recognize this is what happened, and this is just a fact of what happened, the shame now is removed from the equation. The shame no longer has a power in the brain to shut off enlightenment. When someone recalls a situation factually, the shame is removed, and someone is able then to change their belief system around an event so the reality changes. So they recognize they're no longer a victim of a difficult situation of poverty. They're no longer a situation, they're no longer accepting a victim mentality with poor grades. They're no longer accepting a victim mentality of having to start over with their career. They're now taking a moment in time recognizing, I would got through that. There's actually something to look forward to. I could actually do well. When someone has the empowerment of there's a future that is not like this, and it is a future that is actually created by my own power, my own victorship, if that's such a word. You know, if someone is able to understand that, no matter what they've gone through, if they speak out about it and just be real about what's happened, the shame is taken out of the system and empowerment is replaced. And when the empowerment is replaced, someone recognizes how they can be a contributor to a solution that helps everyone to be empowered themselves.
The power that our brains have on us, and just the way you're presenting, it's incredible how the way we view our lives can really change our lives just by shifting our perspective.
Here's one little trick, and I share this in my book, Answers Unleashed, and I share this in Your Brain Masterclass, the new lecture that I tour around speaking. If you ever experience a really difficult situation that you don't want to be in, there's a way for you to actually keep from toxic chemicals and stress from happening in your brain. So this is the trick. If you can remember your most brilliant, exciting, pleasurable experience, the youngest you can ever remember, think about that right now. So for me, it was being with my grandfather. I think I was like 3 or 4. And that was just the greatest time because he showed me how to count. So everyone has their moment in time. If you can remember your earliest moment in time, think about that right now. Just spend a couple seconds and think about that moment in time and really remember it. Feel what happened. Were you with a parent? Were you in your favorite place? Were you at Disneyland? Where were you? You know, and I want you to take that idea and take that memory and really just put yourself in it as if you're in it right now. And remember that deeply. Now, keep thinking about that. Whenever you go into a stressful situation, let's say you're going into a really stressful meeting and you don't want to deal with the person that's in the meeting. I think we've all gone through that. We've all encountered somebody like, oh my God, I hope we're not going to be in another meeting over there. Right? So whenever we are in a very stressful situation, let's say a meeting we don't necessarily want to be in, like, oh, sit in the meeting, watch everything that happens. And then play the memory of you at your youngest time with your best experience. And overlay that reality on top of what you are seeing. You do 3 things at that moment in time. Number one, you are turning off the cortisol and the fear response in your body. You're turning off your heightened temperature. You're turning off your cortisol. You are no longer having an increased heart rate, which is like the chemical compounds and the chemical reactions that happens in your brain in the middle of stress. You're one, turning that off. Number two, you're accessing your deepest neuron cells that houses in endorphins, the chemicals in your brain that actually create pleasure. These are, when you remember your event from the youngest you have been, those are the deepest chemically charged cells in your brain that house the greatest resource of endorphins. That's number two. So you're actually accessing in your own brain the chemicals you need to be able to handle a situation. And then three, when you overlay it on top of the reality of what you see, you're three, creating a response that is not based out of fear, but it's based out of pleasure. Anytime we respond out of pleasure, it's our authentic self. So in a meeting, if someone's like, this is what you should have done, this is what you should have did, you're in the meeting overlaying this beautiful this beautiful memory, and you just respond with, oh, well, I just make sure and take care of it, and let's move on. What I can do is this. Do you know what? That's a really good idea. You bring up that, I have an idea. What I can do is create this and this, and that will stop that from ever occurring, and then I can invent a process that's going to help everybody.
Wow.
So it's essentially like rewiring your brain to handle a situation.
Yes, in your brain masterclass, the class that I created from my book Answers Unleashed, that's just one exercise for you to literally take the resources from your own brain and shift it.
That's incredible. I do want to talk about your days at NASA. And I know that in your early years at NASA, a male colleague once tried to take credit for 6 months of research that you conducted. But a female mentor helped you practice your rebuttal. A month later, you became the youngest person to present information to NASA of that scale. How important is it to you to mentor young women entering male-dominated fields?
Thank you so much for that question. Oh, I love your research. This is so cool.
Oh, thank you.
In my Huffington Post article, I give a movie review of Hidden Figures. And
amazing
for those of,
film.
Thank you. For those of you who haven't watched it, Hidden Figures is about 3 African-American women in the 1960s who experienced Jim Crow laws, which is segregation type of laws, in the South, in the United States, in the middle of the space race program. And their contributions in mathematics and science in the aerospace program later helped the entire space race of the United States. And it was the movie Hidden Figures that was able to highlight the accomplishments and contributions of these three women of color in aerospace. And I, if you haven't noticed, I'm a woman of color. and I am very proud of that, because when I started Rocket Science, I looked around and there I wasn't only just the one woman in a room of 200 people. I looked around and oftentimes I was the only person of color on top of it. And I started when I was 21, so it didn't help that I was like the youngest person in the room too. So there were three things that was going on there. And I looked at it and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, how am I going to stay there? How am I going to make sure and meet the requirements and exceed the requirements so I could guarantee that I could fulfill my passion, which was science? And I looked around and it seemed daunting at first. And I found mentors to help me. There were many mentors, and the three mentors that were most impactful for me were the women. The women that were there. Now, the women that were there, there weren't many women who were rocket scientists, but there were many women who were the administrative assistants. And this is a term in the olden days in Hidden Figures, they were secretaries, if you would look at it. And the administrative assistants were, I guess, quote, the secretaries, if you want to look at it like that way, in that type of terminology from before. So these individuals saw that I was a woman there, and they were so happy I was working there. And they were my mentors. They actually pulled me to the side and told me how to handle emotionally situations where I would be tested by some of the men who were not used to seeing a woman there. And especially a woman of color on top of it. And it was their mentorship that helped me stay cool, calm, and collected during any meeting, during any situation, that allowed me to be able to present what value I brought to the table at that moment in time. And in turn, I ended up mentoring their children.
That's incredible.
There were great friends of mine, and I would go over to their houses on the weekend, and they had kids. And I ended up tutoring their kids in mathematics and tutoring them in English. And I was just so thankful that their moms were helping me, and I wanted to help their kids. And so I ended up tutoring them for my entire time, 10 years over at the aerospace company, and tutoring them all along. And they became doctors. They became lawyers.
Wow.
And it's amazing watching them grow up and think to myself, oh my God, this is like you used to be 8. So it was a great experience. The second mentor I had at the company is someone who showed me the rocket science. He was also a mathematician, and he showed me how to calculate in my brain, in my head. I would immediately be able to see things immediately by looking at the pattern, not necessarily by the numbers, but looking at the patterns. The numbers actually popped out of the screen. Mm-hmm. And he taught me how to see the numbers of the patterns, how they would have their own language. They'd communicate. And it was a tool for me to see what was going to happen in the future by reading the patterns of the numbers. Mm-hmm. And there were two individuals that helped me do that. Zal is his first name, and Dennis is the other. And Dennis was the person who showed me how to read numbers. When I was in mission control, we for 12 hours would see data running across the screen, and my job was to look at all the different engineers' components all put together and figure out exactly the process in which things would explode when it wasn't supposed to. Wow. And how to prevent it. And those individuals, those mentors, showed me how to look at things technically.
It's amazing how you've come full circle from having amazing mentors to becoming an incredible mentor to today's youth, to women, to specifically women of color. You should be so proud of that, because you've done such amazing things.
Thank you. I have been a mentor to kids. I've been a mentor to executives. I've been a mentor to people who are starting their own business. I've been an executive myself. I've been a person to coach individuals in their own personal life, because when someone sees what I've gone through, and I've gone through a lot, and someone sees my mindset, which is you can overcome anything as long as you have the right thinking tools to do it. And thinking tools is your beliefs. Thinking tools are the logical, technical side. Thinking tools are your emotional capabilities. When you have the right thinking tools, you can do anything. And you don't have to let a situation stop you. You can let it help you. So when people see that about my background and people understand what it is authentically that I bring to the table, that's when they know that not only they will gain information from whatever hour it is that I'm brought in, or day or two, or video, or whether it be on NBC or PBS or Impact Theory or TED Talks, when they see the information that is given, lives change. That's my specialty. And that's what I bring to the table.
That's incredible. Wrapping up, I have to ask, what is next for Olympia Lapointe?
A lot.
Well, you asked what's next for Olympia Lapointe. I'm young. I'm 41. I'm really happy to say that, because every year alive is a blessing. Every day alive is a blessing. And I'm young, so my first career was launching rockets. My second career is neuroscience. I mean, this sounds strange, but I thought to myself at first, well, what makes me a neuroscientist? And I'm not a classically trained neuroscientist. I apply the mathematics and science that we use in launching rockets to the human brain. And that is a scientist in its clearest definition. Right. And what I love doing is helping people how to use their own brain. And that's what I've done in my own life. And I think, why not show that to other people? So I'm really excited. This next journey is showing people how to use their brain. It's showing everyone how to use their brain. And it includes the Answers Unleashed live lecture tour, where I'm going to universities all across not only the United States, but in Europe, to share information about how to really master your brain power and how to use what you have to create what you want. And I'm very excited about that. I have the book, Answers Unleashed, and in getting that out there on all the different TV channels, from PBS to NBC to CBS and all the different shows. I'm really thankful for that. And also, and this is what's most amazing, I have been brought on, and I can't say the show yet, but I'm brought on a major science show on PBS and the BBC, and I'm going to be a science host. I just found this out yesterday. I'm going to be a science host. And
congratulations.
Thank you. The show is going to air here all in the United States, in the UK. It's going to air in Europe, Australia, Japan, New Zealand, and many different places across the world. So I'm really, really excited to be able to share science in a way that people will love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are probably the most fascinating person I've ever spoken to, ever. Your outlook on life and your mindset is so incredible, and just from this interview alone, I'm taking so much from what you've said, and I'm really applying it to my own life, and I think you're going to do the same to all our listeners.
Thank you. It is my honor. Thank you so much for sharing your own experiences, and viewers, thank you so much for watching this video, and I will change lives. And I am thankful for your help.